You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about them at cuw.edu. Live uncommon. Theology of the body. Not something you read about every day.
No, or hear about.
Or talk about.
No.
But we're going to talk about it today.
Yeah, it's really fascinating, actually.
It is. It's a fascinating topic, and we have a great guest lined up to discuss that with us today, the Reverend Jeff Boyle, who's pastor at Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Pastor Boyle, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So when we bring up this phrase, theology of the body, what is this? What is theology of the body? What does this mean?
Well, in general, it is to think about the body in light of especially how God has created it and how God has redeemed it through the incarnation of his Son. So that's in general. There is a particular thing that is meant also by it, and that is a series of lectures or general audiences that Pope John Paul II held from 1979 to 1984. He would give these Wednesday evening talks, and that's where he sort of fleshed this idea out. It was a lengthy reflection, thinking through things of creation, redemption, and really where we are destined to go in the resurrection of the body.
So what does God's word say about our bodies?
Sure. Well, the first place to go is at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And this is, I think, quite remarkable. We obviously tend to take this for granted because we all have these bodies. And one of the things that God says about the body, though, is that he has made it in his image and after his likeness. We all know that when the fall happened, when sin entered the world, our bodies also suffered the effects from that. And so they don't do the things that we think they ought to do or what we want them to do. Our bodies suffer. We have cancers that eat away at our body. We just had a funeral the other day here at our church. Those are the sorts of things you wouldn't have had if there wasn't a fall, if there wasn't sin in the world. St. Paul says that the wages of sin are death, and that has a statement towards our body. And yet, on the other hand, we do not grieve as those without hope, because we know that the scriptures also say that as Christ took on a body to himself, as he died and rose again, he has also promised that we in our bodies shall rise again from the dead and see him. So our body is in itself redeemed, the scriptures say. And that says a lot about how we then, I think, interact with one another in our bodies.
There are a myriad of ideas and attitudes about the world tells us we should have toward our bodies or regarding our bodies. What is a godly or faithful attitude regarding our bodies?
Well, that's good. And I think that the faithful and godly attitude toward the body is to say of the body what our Lord has said of the body. And he has said, ultimately, it is very good. Now, that saying stands in stark contrast, though, to what is not godly and what is not faithful. And what is not godly and not faithful is that this body is just a shell, that it is some nothing or something to be freed from, or that it's some sort of captivity. And the scriptures, while certainly being very clear about sin's effects on the body, it does not say that our bodies are something that will simply be discarded. And so the godly approach to the body is to say of it what our Lord has said, that it is very good, and that it will be again with him, united with him in heaven.
There's a word for that, isn't there, for the idea that our body is merely a shell that needs to be shed from us, and that we are simply spiritual beings. Isn't there a word for that?
Yeah, we typically talk about that in terms of like a Gnosticism, where the Gnostics believe that you had this duality of spirit and body, and that the body was inherently bad, and that the Spirit was, in fact, the good and that which is to be with God. And so you have, we see this playing out in our daily lives regularly, where we've got this, I just need to get out of my body. Like, I need to get out of this entrapment, and the idea that there's something inside me, deep down, that is really me, and the body is not me. Oh, our culture is suffering from this sort of Gnosticism tremendously right now.
Mm-hmm. And with that, with those thoughts in mind, and with the culture that tells us that we should that something is wrong with us, or that we need to be fixed, that there's always something to work on with our bodies. Why do these bodies matter to us and to God too?
Well, I think they matter to us because they matter to God, and that's the starting point, really. I think that brings us to reflect a bit on why did God create man, and why did he create man having a body, and what does it tell us about God that he did create man to be this this individual, and yet even in his making man in his image after his likeness, he made man particularly male and female. And so even in the making of man, he has created man to share in his image in this gift giving. So we might start by saying that God has created man in order to give him gifts, chief of which is giving the gift of himself to man. And what that tells us about God is that he is, part of who he is, his essence, his character, is his self-givingness. And in his creation of man, as male and female, we see in our very bodies this reciprocal gift-givingness. And we get to, in that way, participate in and share in our very original createdness as God had ordered it, when we do give of ourselves. And so in this way, what this tells us about God is that he loves us. All of this good gift giving comes from a God who is love.
So what does this say then of how we manage or steward these bodies?
Yeah, I think it starts by saying that because it's not nothing, what is this something that we are to care for, and how are we to care for it? And whenever we ask how we are to care for something that we've been given, we should seek in our Lord's word what he has said. And part of this is St. Paul to the Corinthians saying, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. So how do we glorify God in our bodies? Well, first of all, I think we would recognize that it is in its very createdness, a glorification and a revelation of God's desire to give himself. So that means we should care for our bodies and how we treat other people in their bodies. I think it affects our marriages. It affects our recognition of our maleness and our femaleness and what it means to be man and woman. I think it affects also how we treat birth and how we treat death. How do we care for the elderly and their bodies? Are we just watching the clock until they're finally freed from them? Or can we provide for them and care for those various needs, especially as the body begins to decay and even to show its corruption? I think where it really comes down to also at the end of life is how do we treat our body when we die? And I recognize that there's not some sort of law about this or a clear word that you can't do otherwise. We have certainly evidence of the saints in the early Christian church, the martyrs being martyred and killed and burned at the stake. And yet, do we need to treat our bodies haphazardly and burn them as if it was nothing? No, I think we care for the body. And especially when we're talking burial, one of the ways we do that is to lay it into the grave. We actually believe that the dead in Christ are not dead, but asleep. and that Christ will raise them up on the last day. And so I think of it like I've got five children, four of which are daughters, and I think of it like one of my daughters falling asleep on the couch, and I carefully would lift her up and then go and lay her in her bed while she sleeps. And I think we treat those that die in the faith that way as well. We lay them to rest, and our Lord will call them up.
So this this hope we have in the resurrection, what does this the care that we take for bodies who have died, what does that tell us about the hope that we have in the resurrection?
Oh, if we have, St. Paul would say this to the Corinthians also in chapter 15, if Christ has not been raised, then we have no hope at all. We've believed in vain, and we are the most to be pitied. But because he has risen from the dead, he's joined us to himself and has promised us also our bodies to be raised from the dead, we can rejoice even now that this body that we bear, though it is perishable now, though it is mortal, it will be raised imperishable, and it will put on immortality. These are the promises that the scriptures have for our body, and it gives us something to long for. I mean, how many of us long to be able to run the way we used to as kids, or to not have to put on their glasses? Or how many of us find ourselves cursing cancer left and right, especially as a pastor of the church who sees its effects over and over and over again? We long for our bodies to be freed from the effects of the fall. And that is the promise that we have in Christ as he rose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father in his body. We see our own destiny as man and woman, that we too shall arise and shall be seated with him in our bodies and see him face to face.
Our guest today, the Reverend Jeff Boyle, pastor of Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Thank you so much for helping us dig into this issue. Now I have about a dozen more questions, and we're out of time on the topic of the theology of theology of the body. Pastor Boyle, thanks for being our guest on the Coffee Hour.
Oh, it was a joy. Thank you.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.